setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville, I am Ken, and you have joined a conversation about who you are, specifically what you do best, work you love to do, and results that you want to contribute to this world. That's the who you are. Then we talk about what you were created to do. We believe you were created to work. Some of you are going, ugh, gross, because you've had such an awful experience with work or a worldview of work that says you work to live. But what if I change that phrase to created to contribute? That sounds different. You were created to contribute. So we're going to talk about that unique role in your work, through your work. And then we're going to talk about where you can do that, because it's not just one job. It's not a silver bullet solution. There are multiple jobs and careers that will allow you to fulfill your purpose professionally. I call that the sweet spot, where there are multiple things that you can do. And then finally, how do you get there? So if you have no clue what you were created to do, that's okay. You're welcome. If you have a clue, but you don't know how to get there, that's okay. You're welcome. If you know what it is and you know how to get there, but family, finances, or fear are keeping you from doing it, you're welcome. 844-747-2577 is the number. It is a caller-driven show. I'm here for you. 844-747-2577. Before we get to the phones, real quick, I'm on a sleep kick right now. I'm going to be diving deeper into this because I have seen multiple studies recently, and this is nothing new, but I'm seeing more and more studies. And it's just so important that we can't talk about purpose and working on purpose and living on purpose and peak performance without talking about some of the physical side of things. So we're going to start diving deeper in that. I'm going to bring in some experts that I've interviewed before that they know all about this. And I'm just going to go to school and you can learn through my curiosity. To that end, a new study, the New York Times is reporting that morning people may be at lower risk of depression than night owls. Now, this is not a one-size-fits-all study. It's like, boom, if I go to bed early and I get up early, then I'm not going to have depression. It's not saying that. And the reason I'm pointing this out is that sleep is a big factor in your performance. That's not a new idea. But this journey is hard enough. And to walk around basically half drunk, which is what the equivalent of about 5 to 6 hours of sleep is, it's the same cognitive effect as drinking 6 beers. Now, some of you are watching and listening. You're going, well, Ken, I can handle 6 beers. I can't. Okay. I'm what they call a lightweight. All right. And I mean to tell you, Joe, if I had 6 beers before we did the show, boy, it would be a show. It would be entertaining. Okay. My cognitive abilities would be dramatically affected. So 6 hours of sleep is the equivalent of basically drinking a 6-pack. Okay. So then how is that not a factor in our effectiveness? And depression doesn't always have to be a full-blown thing that wipes you out. It certainly is and very serious. But it can be that roller coaster of levels of depression, certainly if you aren't doing the work you love or you've been laid off or whatever. So here's my point. Whether it's maximum performance or walking through a storm, you better take sleep very seriously. And this article, you know, again, I'm not going to walk through and read it, but the studies show that those who go to bed at 10 and wake up at 6 have much better physical performance. Now, Joe, I told the kids last night, our 3 teens, I was watching an NBA playoff game.
Yep.
Outside, ceiling fan going, real nice weather here in Nashville last night. Man, I was sawing logs. I sit up during a commercial. I mean, I'm gonzo, man. I look at the phone. It's 9:15.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what I did? I went to bed. and it was fabulous. I don't go to bed at 9:15 very often, but I try to be in bed by 10, try to be asleep, you know, in that situation. But I went and told the kids good night. Told my wife, I said, babe, I'm going to bed. And I hit the bed at around 9:27-ish, gone. This morning, 6 a.m., bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Folks, the last time you experienced a really good night's sleep, start thinking about the optimal sleep conditions. My room is as dark as a cave. You wake up in my room in the middle of the night, you can't see your hand in front of your face. Oh, by the way, we dropped the AC down. 67 degrees. Yeah. Not during the day. Not during the day. Some of you people are going, good Lord, man, your utility bill. No. During the day in the summer, we don't have it that low. But at night, you get up to go potty in my house, it's chilly. Why? Two things. A really dark room and a really cold room lead to optimal sleep conditions. All right? Here's the other thing. Try not to eat after 7. Game changer. I know it's summertime, so you go, oh man, I got to have that ice cream. I get it. But if you don't eat after 7, you don't, and by the way, that will help you with sugar intake. Here's the other one that was a game changer for me. I love to read books. I read almost every night, usually a biography. I've learned to do on the iPad the dark screen and the light and TV and video games. Parents, this is a battle. Trust me, I know. But if you yourself are watching TV and it's bright light, that's affecting you. Your brain's thinking, oh, it's time to be awake. So if you can cut out any screens about 90 minutes before bedtime, that's a game changer as well. All of those things go together. And you can take things like melatonin and other things like this. But I'm going to tell you something. You're getting after it and going hard. If you're trying to walk through the baby steps so that you can actually take on the dream job, or you're doing both at the same time, or you're in a new leadership position, you've been promoted, you've got a lot of pressure on you. I could keep coming up with scenario after scenario after scenario. And if you're going to walk through your day dealing with that and the six pack of beers, right, that mentally are slowing you down, and you have a rough day, here's the deal. Depression can spike at times, and depression is worse when we're physically down. And so sleep is as important, if not more important, than exercise and nutrition. But if you put all three together, really good sleep habits, exercise and nutrition, your physical body is going to have more natural energy. Then you combine it with the juice that I talk about on this show every day, where you're doing work you love that is creating a result that matters to you. I'm telling you, you won't have to worry about peak performance. You won't have to worry about energy. But we've got to start taking this stuff seriously. There's nothing worse, nothing sadder than somebody that's on purpose in their life and in their career, and they're not taking care of their body. And their body says, stop. And the body says, nope, not doing it anymore. How tragic. How tragic. Take care of your body. That brain, the heart, they need a healthy body. Don't underestimate the physical in living and working on purpose. All right. Don't move. Coming up next, your phone calls. I feel it. Some people are going to get clear today. This is the Ken Coleman Show. My friends at Bethel School of Technology have received the Best Value College Alternative Award by University Research and Review. They're one of only 15 institutions to receive this award because their online technology boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. And it's a fraction of the cost and a fraction of the time. Go to BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman and get an offer of $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you move from paycheck to purpose. All are welcome. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Weirton, Ohio, where we join Francis. Francis, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thank you for answering my call.
You bet, Francis. What's up?
So firstly, I want to thank you and all the rest of your team. You guys do fantastic work.
Thank you.
I got a kick out of yesterday because the kombucha you're drinking, I was born and raised in Japan, lived there for about 19 years. I'm a university student, sophomore, and I'm 22 years old. My problem is I love my coworkers and my supervisors, but I hate my job because it's a minimum wage custodial job, and I've always had customer service related minimum wage jobs, and I just want to get out of it so much, and I just feel lost as to what to do.
Okay. Well, first of all, you're not lost. So let's start with, let's get your frame of mind in a better place. You're in a minimum wage job. And if you want to get out of a minimum wage job, the good news is you're not leaving behind fortune. You're not leaving behind a great 401k and healthcare and all that. So you can just leave once we find something to leave to. So there's two ways to go about this. One is you just go find another minimum wage job that's more customer service oriented because it sounds like you've enjoyed those jobs. Yes or no?
I've enjoyed the customer service jobs. I want to go something more related to sales and marketing as opposed to working in a restaurant.
Great. So my point is that there's two ways to go about this. You get to go get another minimum wage job or an hourly job, or you can make a little bit more and you got some opportunity, or we begin to get really serious, which I'd rather you do. Let's figure out where do we ultimately want to end up, and let's see if we can go get a minimum wage job or entry level job in that area. Okay.
Yeah.
But so, I want you're not stuck. You can move on from this job. Let's figure out where we want to move. So, where do you want to go? What do you want to do, Francis? What's the 10-15 year plan?
My dream job would be ultimately to be a chief of marketing strategist for someone running for political office.
Okay. So that's working on campaigns, and that would be a position that's probably. You get to that position after working on minimum 5 campaigns. I used to do that, by the way. So this, I actually know what I'm talking about specifically in this career path. So you need to go work on campaigns. In Ohio, you have a different election cycle, I think, than what I'm used to in Virginia, where in Virginia you have an election every year. But if you were willing to go around the country, that's fine. But for you to get there, to be in charge of messaging, and working with the consultants, because that's a consultant heavy business. So you'll have a consultant who does polling. You'll have a consultant who does the media buys. You'll have a campaign manager that's more on the, you know, the strategic operational. Think of them as a COO or CEO. And then what you're doing, you know, that's a position you got to earn by really paying your dues. So are you willing to do that and start working on campaigns and take entry level positions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm willing to work hard as long as it's something in the political world or sales world. I love those two jobs.
Okay, so I prefer you go get a good sales job that will get you A, out of the custodial stuff, B, getting you start making some money, because with a sales job, you might have some commission opportunities there. I prefer that. And then you're looking for the entry into the political world. That's what I think the path is for you. Okay. So first step is let's get you out of the custodial hourly job, which is sucking the soul right out of your body. All right.
Yeah.
So let's go get another job doing sales or something like that where you're enjoying the work and you're making a little bit more money. Now we start to make connections in the political world. So that means you're volunteering for your whatever party you want to work for. You've got a local party, whether it be Democratic or Republican Party. You got all this. Start volunteering, go to meetings, start meeting people. Who's running for office? Are they looking for some help? My first political job, I was 19 years of age during the summer of my, so I would have been a rising junior. And I worked as a driver. I drove the candidate around everywhere. I was his bad guy, which is a great position for a youngster because I was in all the important conversations. Like a fly on the wall, right? But I drove him everywhere. My job was to get the logistics from the campaign manager, and I made sure the candidate was on time. I had to pick up food. I've had to go buy something at the drugstore. I did everything. I was basically a glorified rover. I mean, I just did whatever they needed, and I drove. And I'd be walking to these big time fundraisers at 19. Didn't even belong in the room. You know, millionaires everywhere. And I'm behind this candidate going, okay, this guy's over there in his ear. This guy's over here. Fantastic job. So that's how you get in, entry level. So you're going to probably have to do some, you know, some saving and some hustling at a young age to be able to step from an hourly wage job into a political job. And then it's just straight up hustle, crush it. You're going to work probably 16, 18 hour days, but you're young and you can do that. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to William now in Birmingham, Alabama. William, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Second time caller.
Uh-oh. Did we make some progress from the last time you called?
We did. I called about unsure about flying drones and this and that, and I was all nervous about it. And, you know, you told me I just got to talk to my boss, and I got it worked out. But
fantastic.
You gave me your book. You gave me your book. I read it, and I've gotten pretty clear on what I want to do. I'm kind of at the point where I need to step in and get my hands dirty to get totally clear on which aspect of video I want to work in. But I'm having trouble in the connecting with people area. There's a lot of different types of people. Like, it's literally crazy. I'm so connected to so many people. But I'm unsure with different ones, like, how to approach them. And I'm like nervous that I'm going to come across in a way where they're like, what does he want from me? You know, and they just don't even respond.
Okay, perfect. Pause.
I've connected with people that I've seen in person. And this is just for like online. If I have to send an email or something, you know, you don't come across the same that way.
Well, I disagree. I think if you're telling me that you have used my methodology to connect with people in person and it's going well.
I literally connected with someone today about an hour before I called.
Okay, great. So it's
like
going
well. I just saw people with cameras and I went and connected with them.
Great. So same thing online. Nothing's different,
right,
except that you're not going to be in person. So I was prepared to coach you through all this. So I'll just kind of remind you. But I mean, there's no difference in connecting online as far as the approach. The only difference is you can't walk up to somebody. But you know what's interesting about email and text and social media, DMs? It's the same idea as you walking up to those people earlier today. You saw them with a camera and you walked in and you go, hey, hi, my name is William. I mess around with cameras. I do this and this and this. It's no different.
Right.
So here's the deal. We don't ask for connections. We don't ask for favors. We ask for knowledge and we ask for wisdom. That's how we approach people. And that keeps everything really cool. They don't feel weird
right
at all. Why? Because they're complimented. If somebody came up to you, William, and said, hey, I see that you fly drones and stuff, and I'm 18 and I'd like to do it. Can I spend a few minutes with you at some point and ask you some questions? How would you feel?
I would be thrilled. Yeah, I would definitely give them time.
Why? Why would you give them time? You don't know them. Why would you do that?
You know, I don't know. It's like if they had that same excitement that I have, and maybe I see that in a younger stage, I'm going to be excited and like, yeah, encourage you.
Beautiful answer. Two reasons. One, there's a connection. They're interested in what you're interested in. So you go, oh, we're birds of a feather. There's a connection. The second reason is you felt valuable. Oh, you want my opinion? Oh. I mean, listen, this is the human condition. We all stand a little taller, shoulders go back a little bit. When someone wants our knowledge or our opinion. So knowledge is, I'm going to give you knowledge. Opinions are more in that wisdom, knowledge and wisdom. You ask for knowledge and wisdom, people are going to say, sure. So don't overthink this. Exactly the same way. Be humble, be grateful, and you're going to be fine. The most underrated question in the world is, will you help me? This is the Ken Coleman Show. Helping you get out of the dead end, no meaning, no opportunity job. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577 is the phone number to jump in. It's a toll-free number. Hey, excited to tell you and remind you, we've got another tool to help you, another arrow in your quiver for those of you that are dreading changing jobs or the job search in general. I know it stinks. It's nasty, yucky, all kinds of emotions. That's why partnering with ZipRecruiter.com, the team and I talk with them. They're the number one job site in the country for a reason. Their technology and their vast database of companies that are paying them to help them find talent. That's you. So here's how it works. Super simple. One click, ZipRecruiter.com. You sign up a profile. They start pitching you. They become an actual recruiter. Their technology is second to none. They'll match you and pitch you to companies. Here's the best part. When ZipRecruiter puts you in front of a company that says, hey, I'm interested, the company contacts you directly. No middleman. Boom. You're in. That's huge. You're not just uploading a resume to a site, hoping that somebody in HR pulls your resume out of a pile, if you will. And ZipRecruiter talent, that's you. People that use ZipRecruiter are three times more likely to get hired. So go right now, ZipRecruiter.com. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Avery, who joins us in Manchester, New Hampshire. Avery, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ken. How are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
I'm happy to. What's going on with you?
Sure. So I am a junior in college majoring in finance.
Okay.
Last month, I began working a finance job at my local grocery store. And let me tell you, it's a blast. I love counting the drawers and developing my accounting skills. It's my thing.
Yeah.
But there's only one thing. Uh-oh. There's a lot of workplace gossip.
Ugh.
I know, right?
Oh, it's awful. It's just awful. It's like buzzards everywhere. They're just
really,
just like gnawing at dead carcasses. And then when you walk around, they all kind of run for a second, and then you leave, and they come back.
And then boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right before I got this job, my department underwent a management change, like literally the week before. And so I'm this newbie in there, and all my employees are talking to one another and not exactly saying the nicest things about this new manager. And it makes me feel very uncomfortable. I'm a naturally anxious person. I'm like, I don't want to get involved in this.
Yeah. So well,
I'm wondering, how do I handle this?
Okay. So the way you handle it is you handle yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You get to choose how you participate and how you react to this stuff. So I already know that you're not participating. I can just tell.
No.
By the way, can I just tell you, for somebody who's naturally anxious, I would have never known that because I can literally hear the smile on your face. I've been doing radio
thanks,
a long time.
Mr. Ken.
Yeah, you just got a, by the way, you're making me feel very old. Mr. Ken is not necessary. Ken will do. All right. All right.
Okay, Ken.
Yeah. Two ways to handle gossip. Number one, don't participate in it, which you don't. You don't participate in it. And that's pretty straightforward. You start to hear it. You either walk away or shut it down. Okay?
Right.
Depends on your level of comfort with confrontation. You could say, hey, listen, I prefer you not say anything negative about anybody else on our team around me, please. I'm not judging you, but I don't want to hear it. All right? Or you
that's
just
such a great thing to say.
I know, it's pretty good, right? Yeah, yeah. And then, or the other thing is hey, because I'm saying this just for the audience, not just for you.
Right.
Some people aren't comfortable with that because here's what I know about people. If you say that, which you said, that's really good. I love the way it sounds. Some people could turn that on you. You say, hey, if you don't mind, I don't want you to talk negative about anybody on our team around me, if that's okay. I don't want to judge you, but if I'd ask that you don't do that. That person who does this is going to go, aren't you holier than thou?
I hear it already.
I know. It's because people are awful. People are awful.
Yes.
I know. So if you don't like that kind of retort coming back at you, probably the best thing for you and your anxiety is to just walk away, to kind of just shut it down that way. Not confront, but take the oxygen out of the conversation by just simply not responding, kind of walking away. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that it's good in terms of if you were to confront someone or an employee could risk, you know, creating tension in the workplace and not, yeah. Like, could it risk being shown as a really good, strong employee?
Sure.
Because you're...
Yeah, but tension. Here's the deal. Unless you're in leadership over those people, mm-hmm. if you are leading these people, if you were their supervisor, then you absolutely must confront it. But you do that privately. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You don't confront them in front of other people. You bring them in mm-hmm. privately and you say, hey, I don't want you to do that anymore. Here's why. Here's what that does. But you're not in a supervisor position, correct?
Correct.
All right. So that was the first half. I want you to walk away, meaning you don't participate. The second thing I told you was, is you control how you react to it. And so here's the deal. Mm-hmm. You sound like a person who has high empathy and high compassion. Is that right?
You got it spot on.
I know. I've been doing this a while. So here's the thing. It hurts you personally, even when you're not the subject of the gossip. It hurts you. It wounds you. Yeah. Anybody that's high empathy, high compassion goes, oh gosh, that hurts. And it's not even about you. Right? So here's the deal. So now you got to handle that. So you have got to acknowledge, hey, this hurts me, but you know what I'm going to do? I've got to rise above this because I am in a job. I'm finishing my senior year. I'm in the world I want to be in. This is a stepping stone for me. And so I cannot let someone else's unhealthiness make me unhealthy.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, you just can't do it. It's like if you choose, I'll give you an example. And by the way, thank you for the call. Let me give you folks an example. So many of us let other people's unhealthiness affect us. And I get it that we feel bad for these people, whether it be a family member, a friend, a coworker, and you're going, they're really unhealthy. And it hurts me for them. But that's okay, but we can't go beyond that and go, oh gosh, oh, I'm so worried about them. I'm worried. I'm afraid. You can't do that. You can't do it. It's the equivalent of this. It's like going to a restaurant and you are a clean eater and you want to eat some healthy food. And so let's say you order some fish and you get some veggies and you're drinking water. And so you're all about health because maybe you had a health scare or your family, whatever. And so you've made a decision. This is the way I'm going to live. Okay. Stay with me, folks. This is the metaphor here on no gossip. And so if you're a clean eater and you go, like Madison's a very clean eater. All right. And so it's the equivalent of Madison. I'm going to make this personal. It's the equivalent of Madison getting up to go to the restroom. And she walks by my table. And I've got a giant plate of French fries that are smothered in all kinds of wonderful but awful things. You know what I'm saying. I'm eating a double cheeseburger. I got a giant Coke. And it's like Madison walking by going, huh, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to stop right here for a second. And I'm going to tell you that what you're doing is awful. I mean, that's one approach. She's not going to do that. Okay? So we established that you're not going to do that, Avery. Here's the other thing. She stops for a second, and she goes, oh gosh, keep going. Oh gosh, I know Ken. This is hurting Ken. Ken's going to clog his arteries. Ken's going to die of a heart attack. This is awful. Ken's not taking care of himself. Ah, woe is me. And it ruins her night. This is what happens when we deal with unruly, not nice people in the office. If we let their unhealthiness, their decisions to gossip, their decisions to complain affect us. I know it affects us and it hurts you, but you got to go, hey, it's not my call. It's not my decision. I can't eat for somebody. I can't exercise for somebody and I can't act for somebody either. You got to let it go and do your deal. This is the Ken Coleman Show. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. Let's go to Tyler in Des Moines, Iowa. Tyler, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me.
You bet. What's up?
So right now I currently work in groundskeeping I've been doing it for like 5 years, and it's been good. I've been able to get full-time positions with benefits that take care of me, but I'm at the point now where I'm finally just facing that it's not really what I pictured for me, and my heart's just not in it, and I'm at the point now where I want to actually do something about that. So that's a fact for me. The part that's more iffy is last year I started a business with a buddy during the pandemic and all that, in like podcasting and YouTubing, and it's gone really well. Like, we built a solid fan base in our niche and everything like that. And actually I changed location so we'd be able to work more on it. But, so I have that going, and then with wanting to change jobs and everything, I've been having the pull towards something like software programming, something like that, tech related, which would be a completely new skill for me, but I've always taken to tech, and think it'd be something I could pick up. And I know there's definitely job growth potential for it. And so what I'm wondering is, with my business that I already have and wanting to pick up something like that, am I directing my efforts too many ways? Am I spreading myself too thin? Or is there some way I could go about this to pick up a new skill of coding while still growing what I have going with the podcast and YouTubing?
Yeah, I think it comes down to how many hours you have to be able to actually make progress during a week. So if you look at, you know, everything you're doing, are you currently saying, I just don't have time to do this? Or if I called you up today and said, hey, I got a free programming course for you, and I said, all you got to do is sign up, would you go, oh, I can't, I don't have enough time? Or would you go, okay, I can make that work?
I think I'd make it work.
So this really comes down to you and what you can do. I don't know if you're married, single. If you're single, then I would tell you there's a way. If you're married with kids, then that's a little trickier because you got other responsibilities. Are you married or are you single?
I'm single.
Oh, well then, this is you deciding how much time you sleep and what you're doing socially, and how that fits into these things that you want to do. But the thing that's most important to you is what?
I guess just having work that is fulfilling to me, and I guess creatively invigorating, which I get from the podcast and all that.
Is that your favorite thing, or is eventually getting into technology and coding? I think it's both.
I feel like I think so too. Honestly.
Because here's the deal. If you're a full-time developer and you're coding during the day, you can knock down some really good money. And you need to reach out to my friends at Bethel Tech. That's why I endorse them. They got a 9-month program. It's less than $15,000 if you cash flow your way through it. It's going to be somewhere in the range of $13,000, and they'll get you.
Looked at that a little bit.
Well, you need to talk to them and decide if they're the best fit for you. But I'm telling you that, let's say you get that job, the developing job. That's a nice day job, making really good money, and you enjoy it. It's in your sweet spot. Actually, it's not even a day job. That's a sweet spot gig for you. And then you're doing the podcasting and YouTubing when you're, you know, in the off hours. That's easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think you're doing too much, and I don't think you're pursuing too much. I don't think it's the, you know, the chasing two rabbits and you lose both of them. I don't think that's what I'm hearing here. The third option, where's the third thing come into play?
I guess I don't think I exactly had a third thing. It was just definitely getting out of the work I have now.
Well, that's my point. That's the third thing. That's your day job right now.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
So what I mean by that is, where does it come in? Is we got to replace that because you need that income. Yes or no?
Yes, definitely.
All right. So then we're going to stay with that because that's our day job. That's funding our future. So the day job, we stay until we replace it with ideally the programming job.
Yeah. Yep.
So little bit of patience is really what this calls for you, because you're on the right track.
Okay. Yeah.
So we want to replace the dead-end job with ideally a developing job. So you're making really good money doing what you love, and then you're doing the podcasting. So the third thing goes away because it morphs into that. That's just a day job. Now you're actually, you know, doing what you love. I love this. Great question. I love your spunk. I love your vision. Keep on going, Tyler. Don't you dare quit. You are on your way.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you discover what you were created to do and then come up with a plan to make that dream a reality. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Minneapolis, Minnesota, where Bradley's on the line. Bradley, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, how's it going, Ken?
I'm living the dream, Bradley. What's up with you?
I have a question real quick. So I have a job that I really enjoy, but my boss makes it kind of difficult, and I have zero benefits and all that fun stuff. So I feel like I'd be better off with a job that has benefits and about the same pay. And I'm kind of keeping my eye open for another job, but somebody recently offered to invest in me to start my own company doing what I do now. So I'm trying to figure out if it's better off doing my own thing or...
What do you do?
I'm a locksmith.
A locksmith. And when someone says they want to invest in you so that you can start your own locksmith business, what does that mean?
So we do mostly automotive stuff. So I need some different programmers and things. So they are offering to buy all the equipment for me to start my own, and then I eventually pay them back.
How much money?
Probably around $30,000.
Okay. And who is saying they're going to loan you this money?
It's a dealership that I've done a decent amount of work for. They like working with me.
Is it a true loan or is it an investment where they're saying, okay, we're going to give you the cash and then we're going to get a percentage of the company and thus, you know, you're paying out profits.
An investment.
So that's how
the way they wanted to handle it. Yeah.
So, okay. And so what's that going to look like? Have you come to some type of understanding of what they're offering specifically, what you would have to pay them back each month?
That is being looked at the moment. We've discussed percentages as to what they would get and I would get. And I would be looking at 49% ownership, and they would be splitting between the couple owners there.
It's a terrible idea.
Terrible idea? Okay.
Terrible, because you don't own it. They own it. You have 49%. They're in charge. You aren't. You have no control over your company. I'm sorry to break that to you, but it is that simple.
That's why I called you. I'd rather get somebody's opinion who knows more about this than I do.
Yeah, I want to protect you. And then there's the idea of essentially the investing, and you don't need an investment partner on this. If it's 30 grand, I like you busting it and getting really intense about saving up 30 grand to buy it yourself, to buy the equipment yourself and start your own thing. See, you're already doing this and you're successful. You're just doing it for somebody you don't like right now. You got a horrible leader. So you need to quit the horrible leader, but don't quit until you could step into another company with better culture and better leader, and then you're busting tail, side jobs, selling stuff if you're not in debt. If you're in debt, you need to get out of debt. But my point is that if you want to work for yourself as a locksmith one day, $30,000 for the equipment you just mentioned, that's not a giant unclimbable mountain, is it?
No, it's not too bad.
It's not too bad at all. It's $10,000 a year for 3 years. That's the long version. I just think that you ought to consider, what's my plan to be able to save up the $30,000 to buy the equipment cash, no debt, cash, to buy it debt free and start my own gig. I'm okay with you leaving this leader, but let's not leave until we can leave, meaning you're financially able to float 2 or 3 months while you're looking for something else, or we step into another locksmith gig. Make sense?
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, that's your plan, but I'm proud of you, man. I'm glad you called. And reminder to any of you out there that are thinking about a partnership and you're going, I'm going to start my own company, but I've got investors and I only have 49%. I got news for you. You have 0% control, even though you have 49% ownership. Whoever's got the 51 is in charge. That's just the way it works. All right, let's go to Hartsell, Alabama, where Brent joins us. Brent, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken.
How are you?
I'm trying to figure out my life. How are you?
Well, I am living the dream because I'm helping you with yours. So what's up? What can we dive into?
Well, I'm trying to figure out if I need to go back to, or if I should go back to law enforcement. Just to give you a little background, I was in law enforcement for 10 years. I had transferred from a very large agency to my small hometown agency and really enjoyed it, really liked it, but there wasn't a lot of promotional opportunities. So I ended up transferring to another close by department and hated every minute of it. And I knew I had to try and leave, so it was just a toxic work environment. So I tried to go back to the small hometown department, and a leadership change had occurred during the time that I was gone, and I wasn't allowed to come back. Obviously, I was pretty devastated with it. I thought I did a great job there, and, you know, I wanted to go back, but, you know, I got the rejection. So what I ended up doing was a close friend offered me a job at a, you know, construction-based company as a project estimator, and transferred there or went to work there. And, you know, I've been lucky enough at this company to have been promoted a couple of times, and now I'm a assistant project manager, but I don't have a passion for what I'm doing. And out of nowhere, you know, I got a phone call from the small hometown police department that I liked, and they're willing to let me come back. But I don't know if it's the right choice or not.
Why? Why don't you believe it's the right choice? Give me a couple of things that you're either sure of or you're unsure of that are making you go, I got to call Ken. I'm not sure if this is the right call.
Well, first off, I had applied probably a couple of times since I left the other police department, and I was denied a couple of times. And I know it's going to be much harder on my family. The place I work now, it's one of the very few places I've actually worked where they truly care for each of their employees. You know, they've seen potential in me, and they've invested in me to get me where I'm at now. And I know there's far more potential for growth in the company I'm in now. And I know the police department, because I don't have a college education, my opportunities for promotion are maybe one or two steps, and that's pretty much the cutoff. Obviously, I'm going to make a lot more in the private sector than I will in law enforcement.
Yep. So I know what this is. Tell me if I'm wrong, but your head is telling you you've lost your mind and you'd be an idiot to leave this private sector job for all of the reasons you just gave me. But your heart's going, it doesn't matter, head. I want to serve the public as a police or as a correction officer or whatever it is. That's what you want to do. Your heart's telling you one thing, your head's telling you another. Is that about right?
That's pretty accurate.
What's your wife? What's her position on this?
She likes the security that that the private sector job is offering. We both know that we would never have to worry, you know, financially if I stayed. And once again, the schedule is fantastic. You know, they work with our childcare needs. And
yep, but here's the problem. Your wife, and you're nothing wrong with your wife, by the way, but I understand why she's saying what she's saying. I get it. It's safety. It's the safety gland big time in multiple areas. But the problem is your heart. You want to be a police officer. So here's the deal. If you don't do this, you will deal with regret for a large portion of your life. You'll advance. You'll make more money doing what you're doing. But unless you figure out what a parallel is to the police officer role in the private sector, maybe there's a role in the private sector where you can make really good money and have all the things that you just said, but there's something that's drawing you to being a police officer, and you've got to identify what that is. I'm not going to make you say it on the air because we don't have time, and it doesn't matter what I hear. It matters what you hear. You got to tell yourself, this is why I'm pulled to this. This is my heart pulling me this way. Why? And if I don't do that, what's that going to mean? What is that going to look like 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years down the road? That's what you got to wrestle with, man. I'm always telling you to follow your heart. Hey, my time's almost up. Remember, you matter and you do have what it takes. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.